Welcome to the Links of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. I've gone through all the box scores and done some play-by-play looks, plenty of Twitter threads, the whole nine. And I've come to some conclusions on the first week of preseason. So just going to run down some notes here. It's not an exhaustive list, but just some stuff that I observed along the way. Isaiah Likely, 4 for 44 with Baltimore. Played a bunch in the slot with a lack of wide receivers. I mean, we think of how Lamar Jackson can make it work. Just kind of globbing it together. And Isaiah Likely going 4 for 44 and just sort of piecing that together would certainly help that. So I don't know if it's necessarily that he's going to be a big-time player, but I think it's emblematic of what some of the stuff that Baltimore is going to do and could do. And that offense still be pretty good. Marcus Mariota, I was watching their game, and I literally was like, I flipped to my FanDuel account. And I was like, what are the odds that he leads the quarterback position in rushing? Like, I just was like, he's just taking off. Unfortunately, I don't have odds on that, but I would have been interested. So we'll see there. I think, you know, some fantasy viability, even though there's some concerns. It looks like Drake London escaped any sort of serious injury, which is nice. Kadri Allison was playing behind Cordarrelle Patterson ahead of Damian Williams. Damian Williams had a handful of touches on the, had touched on the first drive there as well. But it was Allison, then Damian Williams. So I think that's one to note. Again, I don't think Allison's super special. I think if anyone's going to make an impact, it's going to be Damian Williams behind Cordarrelle Patterson would sort of be the way I prioritize those guys. I think Allison's worth a watch if he's going to make the roster. And it's going to be like ahead of Algier or something like that. But as of right now, that situation's not looking as great, and maybe Damian Williams being buried, he might be closer to the roster fringe than being an injury away guy. Some quarterback notes here. Zach Wilson, 2 to 4 weeks-ish. Looks like he escaped the ACL, which is great news. My dad's happy to hear that, in case anyone was wondering. We'll know more this week is kind of what it sounds like. Looks like he's flying out to actually have his knee done early this week. I'm going to release this on Monday. Do a little switcheroo here and some of the content. So I'll release this Monday. So you might, by the time you hear this, you might know more information than this pod has. Brady's off for a couple weeks. Looks like it's some personal issue. I came up with the theory that that I thought it was maybe film related because it looks like they're filming that. Like, I think it's called 80 for Brady or something like that. It's with the women from, I think it's Jane Fonda and another woman. They're in the show on Netflix with the former president of the West Wing. I don't know. My wife watches it, and that's the way I can describe it. So, but anyways, they're filming an 80 for Brady movie, and I thought that maybe when he was retired, he had sort of agreed to a filming schedule. That started off a little bit of a hubbub. I was the one speculating about that. We actually, football guys have confirmed that that is actually not what he's doing. So take that for that. That theory is dead. Kyle Trask, 25 for 33, 258, 7.8 yards per attempt, touchdown, interception. So decent stuff there, getting it out quick. It's interesting. Was kind of the thought that I had. He did play behind Blaine Gabbert. I don't think he makes Blaine Gabbert expendable, but let's see what happens. I think it's interesting. We get a little bit more development here out of Kyle Trask behind Brady in this offense. With Brady set to be a free agent, I think it bears monitoring how Kyle Trask is here over the next couple of games. Some other stuff here. Lawrence, of note, Lawrence is the big one. He got the start for Jacksonville, went 6 of 12. 95 yards, touchdown, no interceptions, 10.3 yards per attempt down the field was his ADOT. So pretty interesting there. So not a ton of quarterbacks played. I know Mahomes played decently well. Bryson Perkins is a name that I'm interested in. Sorry, Bryce Perkins, not to be confused with Bryson Hopkins, their tight end. Bryce Perkins, he's interesting, played decently well last year. He's played at Arizona State, transferred to Arizona Western, then to Virginia. So sort of all over the place, but played decently well in training camp last year. And his name, I think he's just officially interesting. If you were to tell me, like, here's a week 16 guy, a team's season went totally sideways with quarterback injuries, right? You already have Stafford being injured. I think there's a chance that they could carry three quarterbacks because of that. Walford's going to be the two. We don't really know how good he is. But if you told me a team's situation went absolutely haywire and that team is going to have like a fantasy viable streaming quarterback in week 16, my bet's on Bryce Perkins. I'll get that hopefully by week 16. I'll get that figured out. But he's a name I think is officially interesting and probably more watch worthy than anything else. Jacobs didn't play, so I know that there was a mass amount of hysteria around the fact that good players don't play in the Hall of Fame game. He didn't play. Zamir White got the first look here, so I know he's auditioning for a trade and all that stuff. Doesn't really look like there's much to that. So Zamir White played in the first drive. He's playing ahead of Kenyon Drake. Kenyon Drake could find himself in a situation where he's actually cut or maybe traded, something like that. I'm going to hold on to him just because I'm interested to see what happens in all this. But we could find ourselves, I think, in week one moving on. So just as a note there. Jake Funk played in the running back one role for the Rams offense. That was with Akers and Henderson both out. Kyren Williams is out as well. Akers and Henderson are splitting work in training camp. I'm interested in moving up from Akers. I am interested in doing that and making a pivot. I think Funk is an interesting one as a running back three. Again, I'm not going to have him like super high on the list of I'm not going to have him super rostered right now, but he's certainly a name I'm thinking about as we go forward. This is a backfield that the priors on an Achilles injury aren't great, and Daryl Henderson's injury history isn't great either, right? Is that meaning that Jake Funk's the guy? Probably not, right? They probably roster somebody else, but then they've done that, right? We've seen them go with Sony Michel, and we've seen them bring in CJ Anderson, and like we have a history of that. But I'm interested in watching, and Funk as well was returning kicks. So I think he's going to keep himself viable, and we'll see sort of how that goes. But if you told me a team went totally sideways and we're starting third stringers in December, I could see a scenario where it's Funk or Perkins. So Spiller was buried behind Kelly, behind Roundtree as well. I thought he looked pretty pedestrian, so I'll be watching that. I thought he looked a little overmatched. So again, it was a limited sample size and what's with backups and all that stuff, but I'm officially watching that situation, and we'll see how that trend unfolds. I think ultimately he'll probably get it around, but I was like, "Eesh, that doesn't look like someone's coming for a job." So, and actually, Kelly looked better than Spiller, and I don't think Kelly's very good. So, we'll see how that goes. Mike Boone played as the running back three, basically in Denver. No Melvin Gordon, no Javonte Williams. We're watching a Melvin Gordon foot injury, so just keep it there. Stevie Scott, just a name to think about and watch there from deeper down the line. Big guy that can move a little bit, playing a reserve role. And if there's like a Melvin Gordon injury, we got to look for how things break. Stevie Scott in a deeper format could be a name to watch. Rico Dowdle, first team, 9 for 36 on the ground. So we'll watch for him as a potential running back three of interest as well. Pierce had a big game with Houston. Didn't actually play until the second team came in. It was the third drive. He had 49 yards on 5 carries, averaged almost 10 yards a pop. 86% of his yards came after contact. And you know, he's going to get a lot of push. He's going to get a lot of buzz. Probably seen it coming from big names. Let's see him get first team reps. Mack actually started ahead of him, so we'll watch there. No Burkhead. I know there was big discussion about Abram Smith He did have a fumble, and there was some quotes from Dennis Allen that said he actually looked explosive. It's worth noting, before that, it was like a big discussion. It was the compliment sandwich. If you're familiar with that, this technique my wife actually uses, which is you say something nice, and then you sort of lay it down in terms of, like, here's the stuff that you screwed up, and then you finish with a compliment. And she doesn't do this to me. It's a work thing. I swear, it's a work thing. But that's what Dennis Allen did. It was like, you know, good to see him explosive. Can't put the ball on the ground. Like, definitely, like, that's essentially cuttable offense. But, yeah, he looked explosive. Compliment sandwiched him. So, for what that's worth, again, he was the fourth running back behind as follows. Dwayne Washington, Tony Jones, Divino Zigbo. So, Abram Smith, officially on the roster fringe. We'll be watching there for how that unfolds. Again, that's with Kamara and Mark Ingram not playing. Tampa Bay, Gio Bernard started. Keyshawn Vaughn in on the third drive. Rashad White in on the fourth drive. So I know there were some people that like some stuff about him. We got to see. We got to watch that ordering. Again, he has a lot to jump over, including Gio, who looked, I thought, okay, and Leonard Fournette, right? So, again, White's interesting, but to just think that he's going to jump ahead of a couple of guys who, you know, have been part of key parts of pretty good teams here over the past couple of years, I think this would be an interesting watch there. And I wouldn't necessarily preordain it. Pittsburgh, Benny Snell was out. He's dinged up a little bit, so we'll watch for that. McFarland was a starter in on the first three drives. Jaylen Warren was second in. He went 6 for 34 on the ground. McFarland has only 19 career regular season attempts, but he forced three missed tackles and averaged 6.1 yards after contact across his seven attempts. That's per PFF. Jaylen Warren caught all four of his targets for 30 yards, 29 of which came after the catch and a touchdown. So we'll see there how that battle unfolds, but maybe it makes Snell expendable. So we'll be watching that. I know Snell can play some special teams and stuff too, so we'll have to see how that unfolds. But maybe a McFarland share, maybe add Jaylen Warren would sort of be my thought on like a waivers this week. Buffalo, we have Zach Moss played ahead. He actually played the first snaps. James Cook was in on the first drive as well. Duke Johnson was in the next drive there. So some ordering stuff that's good for James Cook. And we'll see sort of if that maybe means Duke Johnson's expendable. The Colts, Nyheim Hines played the first four drives before Lindsey came in on the fifth drive. Tyson Williams came in on the sixth drive. So Williams a little bit buried. Lindsey playing a more ancillary role. I was interested to see if Hines would be an official injury away guy. It's kind of how they treated him. Gave him the run, gave him all that. So we'll be watching for that. Maybe there's not a back outside of Nyheim Hines that we're going to roster this year. So I'll be interested to see how that plays out here for the rest of the training camp. Khalil Herbert played 18 snaps with Fields. Montgomery didn't play. Ebner played with the second team after Fields left. So if you're thinking about ordering there, that would put Montgomery and then Herbert and then Ebner. We'll see if that changes going forward. Isaiah Pacheco had 8 snaps and 2 rushing yards. He played behind Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And he also played behind Jerick McKinnon. I'm sorry. He played Clyde Edwards-Helaire played 7 snaps. Pacheco played 3, and then McKinnon played 1 in the 11 snaps that Mahomes was on the field. So Pacheco finding himself right in that competition role there, and that could put him and make him potentially Ronald Jones expendable. So we'll be on the watch there for that. Ronald Jones did not play in this game. I'm sorry, he did. It was 4 carries for 1 yard. So Pacheco on the field ahead of him. So that's a notable feature. That's consistent with some of the stuff that we've seen with reports so far out of camp. Carolina, if you were holding your breath here on the injury away front, Chuba Hubbard and Deonta Foreman evenly split the 12 snaps of the first team offense. So fully in a competition in a committee there. We'll see sort of how that goes over the next couple of games here. See how that gets sorted out. In a top 20 running back is sort of putting himself directly in the crosshairs of a moving train section of the podcast today. We're going with Antonio Gibson fumbling on only 5 snaps with the starters. That ain't good with a guy with a history of fumbles, with a history of injuries. Brian Robinson's purportedly looked very good in camp so far. And I keep getting messages in our football guys staff chat about Brian Robinson, you know, having some positive stuff here. I'm excited to see the training camp reports come out this week for football guys to go. I'll go check them out and see what the stuff is on Brian Robinson. That's one that I'm looking forward to. But handled 6 carries for 26 yards, 20 of which came after contact, scored a rushing touchdown, and like appears to find himself directly in a potential early season competition with Antonio Gibson. So firmly there, you know, firmly interesting. You know, we paid seconds, mid seconds, late seconds for him. We'll see what we can turn that into, right? If there's spot starts here, if there's, you know, if there's a Gibson injury, I don't know if we're going to get first for Brian Robinson, but definitely he's going to be a player that we're going to be exploring the market on here as well. So be careful if you're getting offers. Like, I got some kind of throwaway offers with him just like his kind of roster filler, and I'm like, no, not going to get that one by us. So we'll be watching that there. Jacksonville went 9, ETN was in, went 9 of 23 on the ground. Robinson didn't play. He was contacted 0.6 yards behind the line of scrimmage on average. So, not great. Wide receivers. Some notes here. Ben Skowronek and Tutu Atwell didn't play with the Rams offense. If you're familiar with the Rams offense in training camp, there was actually a quote from Sean McVay this week that basically said, Tutu Atwell has a role in our offense, so of course he's not going to play in training camp or in preseason games, which, if you're playing in preseason games, probably isn't a morale booster, but c'est la vie. And specifically for Lance McCutcheon, who had 2 touchdowns worth an interesting late roster spot. I don't know. I mean, I don't think Ben Skowronek's super impressive. McCutcheon's big. And if something were to actually happen to Van Jefferson, like paint me into being interested in Lance McCutcheon deep down the line. I mean, that seems... it's pretty remote. Again, that's the remoteness with which we deal with wide receivers. But again, thinking about some of these guys down the line, McCutcheon's one that could potentially make this roster. So I'm watching that. All right, Lynn Bowden Jr. is potentially on the trading block. So we'll watch there. He actually was on the field for 4 plays, targeted and with the first team. I was targeted on 4 of those plays and hauled in 3 for 55 yards and a score. So high efficiency, high impact there. They were getting him the ball. We'll see how that goes. If there's a market there. Again, he's kind of on like we've gone through now. 1 coaching staff moved on from him. A 2nd coaching staff was like fired last year. Now he's on his 3rd coaching staff and it appears they want to move on from him. So we'll be watching how that goes and if there's a market there. He's kind of more of a wide receiver now. He's a little bit more of a gadgety guy. So we'll be watching that. Tyler Johnson was really good. 3 catches, 4 routes with the starters. He went 6 for 73 on 7 total targets. I don't know where like he fits and finds himself in this offense, but I will say there's other situations that if he were caught or traded, like he could actually be a guy. I mean, like, is he the 2nd wide receiver in Chicago? We'll get there in a second. But, yeah, I mean, that ain't – like, that's a he's looked pretty good. He's a bigger guy. He was good in college. And again, his transition from college to pros didn't go well. But it scares me a little bit that they're so – interested in continue to put weapons in there in front of him, but maybe he gets the opportunity. He's got some of that Devy residual as well, that if he were to land someplace, he could potentially find some interest there. So he's a name that I'm interested in watching because someone there is not going to make the depth chart. Pickens started with the first team, but keep in mind that was with Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool out. He went 3 for 43 and a touchdown. Five targets. So he's a name we're going to definitely be seeing vaulting up the boards. If he's drawing first, that's totally possible here over the next couple of weeks if you get super bullish on rookie guys, or if maybe not necessarily a first specifically, like he could draw a first type valuation. So that's a thing I just keep in mind if you have him, that you might be able to pivot for higher than you expect. I'm definitely more so than trying to just shop him for a first. I'm definitely thinking of like, hey, how can I put him in a package to get a top 30 guy? That's kind of what I'm thinking. Some Buffalo stuff. Isaiah Hodges converted 11 targets into 9 catches for 77 yards, north of 80 PFF grade. Those numbers courtesy of PFF. Khalil Shakir went 5 of 5 on his targets, 92 yards, and a decent PFF grade as well, up above 80. So good stuff there for the Bills and try to figure out the not Stephon Diggs portion of the wide receiver depth chart. Tajae Sharpe impressed in his Bears debut. I have to be honest with you, I laughed out loud in my basement by myself as I was reviewing stuff for this when I saw a video of him, and it was like, hey, like the Bears didn't go out and get someone for to be a big name pass catcher because they had Tajae Sharpe. And I was like, wait a second. Tajae Sharpe has played on 3 different teams in the past 4 years and has caught 76 balls in that time. Are we really going to use a video of Trevor Siemian throwing him a ball with the second team offense as proof that he's a great fit with Justin Fields? This is what happens in mid-August. Again, be careful out there. All right, so wide receiver snaps respectively with Mahomes. Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, 11 and 9. There was no Sky Moore. There's a couple there for Mecole Hardman. But no Sky Moore yet. So interesting there. Sky Moore played okay, but not with the first team. So we're going to have to be watching that here as we go forward. Jahan Dotson played all 22 snaps with Wentz, and he received no targets, but was there on the field ahead of Curtis Samuel. Actually, I had a Terry McLaurin as well, so we'll watch for that there. One tight end news and notes here. There wasn't a ton of stuff. I mean, there's a bunch of guys not playing, so we'll sort of see how that sorts itself out. But Kylan Granson was starting for the Colts, so he's definitely a name that's out there in some leagues that I've added here over the past, I don't know, 6 months or so, and he's a name that I'm officially interested in watching. So, and he, frankly, got an opportunity, so we'll see how that goes. Not really productive yet, but I think that's an open depth chart with some with a decent quarterback. So and without a lot at the wide receiver position established either. So officially interested there on him and see how that situation goes for him. So, all right, that'll do it for this episode. Again, I hope this is helpful, sort of distill some stuff down for you in, you know, 20 to 25 minutes or so. That'll do it for this edition. I'm going to, for tomorrow, I'll have another team preview here as we just start wrapping these up. And I'll have team previews that will be wrapped up, hopefully with that by the end of the week or so. And then, you know, more strategy stuff here all the way up to the start of week one. And yeah, then we're rocking and rolling. So that'll do it for this edition. Until next time, continue to embrace the variance. We'll talk again very soon.